You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's Monday. It's August 11th, and gas prices have fallen for 2 weeks in a row. Are you changing your plans? Are you watching the numbers at the gas station, at the pump? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. What do you think about these changes the last couple of weeks? I'm joined in the studio by Catherine Lamper, who's sitting in for John Hockenberry. Good morning,
Adora.
Catherine. And this week is starting off on a pretty good economic note. Oil prices are falling, commodity prices are down, and the stocks, well, maybe they're getting a little perky again. And clearly a real tide turner from what most of the year has really looked like, right? I mean, we're talking about a dollar that's grown a little bit stronger.
Oh, it's what's amazing. I mean, you can see that people want to run to the pumps again.
And that's a good thing if it's costing them less. And joining us for a preview of the economic week and a look at some of these latest trends, I don't even know if we can call them trends, Dan, can we?
They're short-term trends for sure. We're heading off to Maine for the week, and I just went to fill up and paid $4.20 a gallon. So I think it's a little premature to think that we'll all be out there getting Hummers and driving with abandon anytime soon.
That's Dan Gross, senior editor at Newsweek. $4.20 for you, but the average price has clearly dipped a lot. On Friday, according to the Lamberg survey, $3.83 per gallon average, which is down about 30 cents than the high about 6 weeks ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, the price of oil today, it's trading at about $115 a barrel. It was just about 6 weeks ago up at $147. So the market prices have come down about 20% really in the space of 2 months. That said, it's only getting us back to where we were, say, in May. But, you know, people, the mentality and psychology is such that even returning to what had been an elevated price a year ago, if you had said you're going to pay $3.80 a gallon, people would have thought, oh, that's awful. Now it strikes us as being, you know, a pretty good deal.
We're like, what a great deal. Let's talk about the macro picture, though, because there are certainly some world events that could potentially affect the price of oil and don't seem to me. For example, you have militants in Nigeria who are threatening that supply line. You have this conflict, this seemingly escalating conflict in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. And then you have the Iranians who continue to be defiant in the eyes of repeated international requests to stop enriching uranium. Why are these things not affecting the world price of oil?
Those types of factors you just mentioned are always there. Nigeria has been unstable for years and likely will be. Ditto for the Persian Gulf, and there are always flare-ups in the Caucasus. And that, I think, is sort of factored in. Obviously, if there's a huge implosion somewhere, that could send the price spiraling. But I think the market has kind of factored instability in general into the price of oil. And I think what's happened in recent weeks is a combination of two things. One is kind of prolonged what economists call demand destruction. In simpler terms, it's when something gets really expensive, people use less of it. And mm-hmm. we're seeing this here in America. The amount of gas we're consuming, and we're the world's biggest gas consumer, is off 3% year over year. And people are starting to see changes in behavior. So that's one of the things that has brought the price down. A second thing that has helped bring the price down to a degree is another big macroeconomic trend, the rally in the dollar. You know, around the world, oil is priced in dollars. So if the dollar is getting weaker, it means that the price of oil will, in effect, rise. And if the dollar is getting stronger, it means that, in effect, the price of oil, all things considered, will decline. You know, it takes fewer dollars to buy a barrel of oil today because the dollar has gotten a little weaker. So there are two big factors that have comparatively little to do with the sort of headlines we see coming out of places where oil is produced, and more to do with a couple of really big picture macroeconomic trends here at home and throughout the globe.
Okay, Dan, so what you're saying then is when your typical consumer looks at the world events and says, hey, we've got all this trouble with the oil here, doesn't that have any impact on what's going on with the price at the pump? It's hard not to think of manipulation somewhere.
No, I don't. I really think that this is a, you know, a global market in the truest sense. And I think one of the things that has been so mystifying to American consumers over the past year, really, is this kind of disconnect between the fact that, A, we were using less gas, and, B, the price continued to rise. Because historically, you know, Americans, we always remind ourselves, we are 4% of the world's population, but we use 25 to 30% of the world's energy. And in the past, if a consumer the size of the U.S. stopped using gas, stopped driving, that would cause the price of oil to plummet because we're the biggest consumer.
So it just really has a tremendous effect on the world market. Dan, when you're taking a look at what's coming out, the numbers coming out this week, what are you going to be watching for to see whether or not this is truly a turn for the economy here in the United States?
I'm primarily going to be looking at the price of lobster per pound in Maine. I understand it's down this year, and, you know, we've talked so much about food inflation. I've been told that this is the one item where food inflation is not actually hitting. They had a good harvest, and, you know, consumers' ability to pay for expensive crustaceans is on the wane. So that's, I'm going to be doing some extensive reporting on that this week.
Well, Dan Gross, we hope you have a lovely vacation.
Thank you very much.
Dan Gross, senior editor at Newsweek. Thanks for joining us.
Lobster. Anytime. Makes me hungry.
I know. He's right, though. The prices have apparently gone down this season.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.